None of the great men were funny. I was thinking, I'll never be historically significant. I went through the whole list of all the great men, like Copernicus and Galileo and Freud and Newton, Einstein. Einstein was witty, but it wasn't like, you know, you don't read about him being a silly goose as well. You don't, it wasn't like, well, when protons stick to a helium isotope, got to make sure you stabilize the electrons. Now, if the electrons do disappear, you might want to check your butt.
Brian Callen is here, comedian and actor.
A joke.
It is a joke. Not only is it a joke, Brian, but you were brave enough to use the controversial term silly goose in that
You're
joke.
You're darn right I was.
A lot of guys wouldn't do it.
I like silly goose. I like using like expressions like gee whiz.
Yes.
Or he's groovy. I like those kinds of expressions.
Silly
man.
Goose is something that everybody's mother at some point said. You're being a silly
You're
goose.
You're being a silly goose.
Yep.
I've always been a silly goose.
What's wrong with being a silly goose?
Well, nowadays, I feel like we're losing our sense of humor in the public debate, aren't we? Come on,
to some extent, yes.
Come on, sometimes let's just like relax everybody.
Right,
just,
right, right.
Yep.
You know, my mom used to call me, a silly goose came up once every other year, but she would sometimes, and it was based on the way I would dress, she would tell me that I am dressed like a ragamuffin.
A ragamuffin. Well, when I'm naked, people call me a cheetah with human skin stretched over it.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know, guys. It's confusing.
I'm not positive that's a compliment.
You don't know.
I took a double take.
You never
when
see
he
me
came
run.
In.
You never see me run naked through the jungle either.
I'm like, is that a cheetah with clothes on? What the?
I'm just saying. Is that a
No, that's not a compliment at all.
Is that a cheetah with human
not.
Skin stretched over?
We were talking before we went on air. You keep yourself in very good shape, and this is through boxing and weightlifting?
I have a beautiful body, guys, and I play tennis.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm obsessed over tennis. My thing about tennis, we were talking about this, is that, and boxing as well, is if you saw me play, if you saw me hitting with the guy I pay to hit with me, I pay him to hit with me, you'd say, Brian can play tennis. Mm-hmm. My stroke, I obsess. I mean, I hit. I even make a little noise. Eh! I grunt. Eh! Yeah. And then my backhand's a lot more feminine. I just drop it. I go,
slice.
Oh, it's such a beautiful slice. But sometimes I'll open up on you with my backhand. Sometimes don't kid yourself. I'll just get some crazy topspin. Point is, I look really good. And then if I try to play a real player, I won't get a game because he's hitting the ball to me.
Oh, yeah.
And when it becomes strategy, and boxing is the same way, I look great on mitts. In fact, I look really good when I'm sparring a pro who's moving around with me and letting me hit him a couple times.
Yeah.
And then if somebody opens up, it's a different story.
Right.
And then I fake injuries.
Now, you know, most guys will choose tennis or boxing. They're very, very different. Similar footwork. Yep. But the mechanics of the two sports are so totally different.
Yeah.
Everything about them is so
totally
different.
I like boxing because it's so difficult and it keeps me in touch with objective reality.
Yeah.
Something about getting punched in the face keeps me humble, but also makes me feel a little tougher. I feel
See,
tough.
I would run. I would like the box, but I don't want anything from like the neck up, the neck down. Well, yeah, period.
It takes a long time.
I don't want to
punch. Well, so it takes a long time. When somebody throws a punch at you, no matter how tough you are, if you're not used to it, Brock Lesnar in the UFC, when he got punched in the face, he'd been a wrestler, just a giant guy. You turn your face away. You hold your hands come to your face, and you turn your face away. And you only get over that if you learn how to kind of navigate that space.
Right.
And I'm not saying that wouldn't happen to me if I was fighting some really tough guy, but you can get to a point where you can actually keep your eyes open a little bit. I don't know.
Can I pitch you on a nickname if you became a pro boxer?
Yes.
The Silly Goose.
Oh, Brian, the Silly Goose Callen.
Yeah.
Not the Naked Cheetah?
No. I would go Silly
That's
Goose.
You sure not the Naked Cheetah, though?
No.
Not the Man Cheetah?
Maybe overseas.
Okay. Overseas.
But here in the States, I'd go Silly Goose.
In the States, you're a Silly Goose.
And you could be the Ragamuffin.
Yeah.
Ragamuffin
tag team.
The Silly Goose.
We would tag team. We'd take it all the way to the top.
I don't mind.
It'd be
I've
big.
Always been a silly goose. I'll never be big. A tough guy. I'll always be a jackass.
Let us talk about the Goldbergs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big hit.
It is.
Yeah? You enjoy
Fourth
that?
Fourth year, baby. Fourth year.
Congratulations.
I came. Yeah, I was shooting yesterday, in fact. It was a lot of fun.
A friend of mine, a kid named Jeff Garland. You ever hear of Jeff Garland?
The kid, he and I go way back.
Isn't he a good guy?
Jeff and I have a very funny joke. We do this bit on, well, first of all, he'll never call me by my name. He'll say, hello, Jennifer. And I'm like, Nadine. It's a dumb joke. But Jeff and I on set, I love Jeff. And on set, Jeff will just go, I quit. And everybody goes, oh, no. And I go, hold on, guys. Let me talk to him. And I go, Jeff, don't quit. And he goes, Okay. He's back.
You talked
him
out of quitting.
I got him back. He's back.
Right.
And I'm the only one that can rehire, that get him to not quit. And the show goes on. So I save the show every day.
When I used to do stand-up with Jeff, and we were doing a one-nighter, a remote one-nighter, and he didn't want to be there. And I just kind of, you know, when you do those one-nighters, sometimes they're good, but rarely,
they,
you know.
Yeah, sometimes they can be.
And we were sitting at the bar prior to the show, and he goes, I don't want to do this. I go, Jeff, you have to do this. We've driven 111 miles, and you're here.
Jeff.
It'd be ridiculous. Oh, all right. And then he looks over, and somebody on the staff, it was their birthday, one of the waitresses, so they had a cake on the bar. And he goes, I have an idea. So when I was done and it was his turn, they had the MC introduce Cakey the Clown. And what Jeff did was he took the cake and just put it all over his face, and he did his regular act, but as Cakey the Clown.
I love him. Well, Jeff, we were doing a table read, and the network is there and all the producers and everybody. And the actors are sitting around the table. We're about to read this new script for the Goldbergs. And I look over and Jeff in a t-shirt is napping.
Oh, napping. Geez.
During the read-through.
Right where, we hadn't started yet, but right where people are going to sit, like the producers and stuff. And he decided to take a little nappy poo.
Oh my God. So do you have to, okay, so at a table read, since I've never sat at one, would you have to wait for him to wake up? Or do you kick him and go, wake up?
Yeah, you kick him. Jeff's the kind of guy who's like, okay, I'm getting up. Yeah. I mean, he's not a diva.
And how long does it take to go through a table read? Because I'm assuming working with all you guys and everyone's laughing.
Yeah, but you read the script and then there's laughter and
hopefully.
You know, yeah.
You're hoping for laughter.
The Goldbergs is a good show.
It really is very funny.
First show.
So
my
funny.
Character, you know, I play this coach from the 80s. I go farm. And I've never, ever done a show or a movie where I didn't improvise a little.
Yeah.
And because, you know, you're a comedian, they let you go.
Yeah.
I've never had to on the Goldbergs. I say this all the time. I've said this 50 times, but it's all true. Like, they're such pros.
Yeah.
The writers.
Yeah.
You know, all ex-stand-ups, but all real writers, like real TV veterans. And they come up with stuff I can't come up with.
It's already that good. You don't need to put any seasoning on it. It tastes good already.
Weird comedy. Like, he brings up a donkey. I go, the donkey is the most noble of all work beasts. You know, just weird stuff. I just love that stuff, you know? So it's been such a privilege. It's so fun. Because most acting jobs, you're on set. You know, people always laugh at how tedious the process is. You
right.
know? And we had this pro football player on, Mike Quick, who played for the Eagles for many years. And he'd never really been on a set. And he couldn't believe how long it takes.
Oh, yeah.
And how many different angles.
Oh, yeah.
So you better like what you're doing and you better like the people you're with or else you will drink.
Yeah.
You will be. I mean, it gets boring. When you do a film, you're doing a page a day. Go ahead. And go ahead and have fun with your drama. You have fun.
Right.
Now, once you learn what actors really are, Alec Baldwin talked about it. He goes, 15 minutes of my life, 15 a day, literally, no more than that. And that's actually being generous, is acting. And the rest is waiting around.
Mm-hmm.
Fact.
Oh my God.
It's hard for people to fathom because no matter what your job is, there are pitfalls to your job.
Yeah.
And for actors, that's always the complaint, is how much waiting there is.
Well, because people think it's glamorous. You see, what happens is you do movies, awesome, and then you get recognized. So you go into a hotel or you're at the airport and people recognize you. And as apes,
yes,
as human apes that we are, the alpha is always fascinating. Everybody wants to be the alpha. We all want status.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to be the one people are looking at and talking to.
Selfie.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that value becomes misplaced. You start to think that that's what you want. That's what I thought I wanted. Like, I want the attention from the girls, and I just want the attention. I want to be successful.
Sure, sure.
And then you realize what acting really is on film, which is that piecemeal work, that very sort of tedious. It's very difficult,
sure.
And it's not glamorous.
Yeah.
And I think,
shocking, isn't it?
Yes.
It's
and then you get older, and you're like, wait a minute, man. This whole, whatever this fame thing is a bit of an illusion.
Right.
Especially if you're married, you can't take advantage of it, you lose your house. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
I want to know what you do when you wait around for these long periods of time.
I read.
You read?
Yeah.
Okay.
But on the Goldbergs, usually you have people like Wendy McClendon, who's hilarious.
Oh,
you
mm-hmm.
just get to talk and be silly.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
And is the food really good? Because I have this image of like a buffet and a chef
carving
meat.
There's a nonstop craft service table.
Nonstop food.
Okay.
I don't know why actors don't weigh 350 pounds.
Because they're all vain.
Like, is that what it is?
Yes. And you know, you don't want to eat sugar because you lose your energy.
Yeah.
And then you got to do a scene. It's and it lives forever.
Thus, Jeff Garlin napping during a read-through.
Correct.
I think you proved your own point there.
I was Jeff's guru. for a while, Jeff looked at me and goes, how do you stay in shape? I don't have any energy.
That's what it is. Yeah. Brian Callen is here. He's at the Chicago Improv. Critics are calling him a silly goose. Can you imagine?
There it is. There
go
it
to
is.
Chicago.improv.com. All your information's there. We'll take a quick break. You know who's here? Brian Callen's here. That's who's here. He's performing at the Chicago Improv December 14th, 15th, and 16th. That's tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. Go to chicagoimprov.org. I'm sorry, chicagoimprov.com.
Run, don't walk, kids.
Hurry.
They're going fast.
Tickets are going so fast, Brian.
Like hotcakes.
They can't keep them in stock.
I don't eat hotcakes. I'm gluten-free and carb-free. You guys will see that when I perform with my shirt off.
Oh.
You perform with your shirt off.
I should.
You get a couple tickets.
It's
here.
What the people want.
Oh, now they're telling me tickets cannot be kept. They're moving so fast.
You see what happens?
They're going so fast.
You see what happens? Well, watch this. Ready? For $5,
go
you
on.
Can touch me afterwards.
How about that? That's
you
a bargain.
See that? How are they doing now? How are the tickets going now?
People have returned their tickets.
Yeah, returned it.
People
yes.
bought tickets and they just returned them to the box office. Andrew was just pointing out you had a role, a very prominent role in Sex and the City.
Yes, yes.
Was
yes.
there a lot of fighting? Because all I know is what I read on the internet. Some of the cast members didn't see quite eye to eye with other cast members. Was
I
there
never
fighting?
Saw it. I never saw it. I thought Sarah Jessica Parker was just a phenomenal person. The
yeah.
way she ran that set, yeah. I have nothing but good things to say.
Good.
Kim Cattrall, who I always had a major crush on. Was so sweet. Took me and Mario Cantone out to dinner.
Oh,
I mean,
nice.
To lunch. And that was cool. And then I spent a while. I was 10 days on that set, I think, altogether. And I think Kristen Stewart was, and Cynthia Nixon was just very quiet. Never said a thing.
Not Kristen yeah. Stewart.
Yeah, Kristen Stewart was the cute one.
Kristen Davis. Remember.
Kristen Davis. Davis
Kristen, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was... She's a very
careful.
No, no, she's a very yeah. She's a very sort of colorful gal. Like she's
really?
Not very probably aware of her own impact.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, she's very pretty and very kind of naive and very sort of like goes through the world. If she were in a herd of deer, she'd be the first one
down.
That's like Charlotte.
She's not
that's
aware
like her
of anything,
character, right?
Yeah, she's not aware of really any danger. She'd be like, "Oh, right. those are lions. They're so cute." Like that's what I got.
Then
from
she'd
her.
Get munched on.
And I feel like there might have been some tension between her and she probably wasn't even aware of the tension.
But don't you
she
think?
She seems like a sweet person. But yeah. There was one actress I think who just found her to be maybe.
A little too much.
I don't know.
Frustrating.
I don't know. I don't want to say anything bad because I think that they all seem like they got along. To be
yeah?
honest,
okay,
do you
good.
Get recognized from there? Because immediately, because we
I
had
do.
Never met, and yeah. I knew your name, of course, and then from the yeah. Goldbergs, and then I thought, wait mm-hmm. a minute, I know you were on Sex and the City. Did a quick, you know, Google yeah. search. You were number 21 of Carrie's all-time
and I was the
boyfriends
one who had Jackrabbit sex. With
Jackrabbit.
Oh.
Remember at the wedding, and you
oh,
just oh you
yeah
you just
she
called
was like,
her
pound,
out
pound,
at the
pound,
wedding.
Pound, pound, pound. Not fun for me. I got a sex sprain, and I was.
And he's like, you were terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
do you still, I mean, because that was many years ago.
I do. I've never gotten laid off
no,
of
no,
that.
No, I was going to say.
Do
no, do you get recognized
yes,
from
yes,
that?
Yes,
okay,
yes,
okay.
Yes, all the time.
What's
They're
the...
like, you're the guy who was terrible in bed. So
that's good to be recognized
that,
from that.
On.
Yeah, that's always
that
good.
Explains
Brian,
a lot.
Of all the things you've auditioned for, what's the one thing that for some reason you really thought, oh, this belongs to me. You didn't get it. Somebody else got it. And they just...
Will and Grace, I auditioned, I think, probably four or five times.
For which part?
Really?
For, I think, both Jack and for Will.
Oh.
And, but Sean Hayes, who's my buddy, is way better than me in, as a human being in general. So he deserved that. And I Will McCormick, Will's great, too. I don't know. I remember that. I remember my best friend's wedding.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true, but I heard from the casting director... that I almost got that part.
The really?
Dermot
the lead
Mulroney,
in that?
The Dermot Mulroney
oh,
part.
Oh, yeah.
I heard.
Yeah.
It was the sort of the dark
Can you
horse
tell the
that.
Difference between Dylan McDermott and Dermot Mulroney? Because I think that's just one guy.
No, that's right.
I agree.
So Dermot Mulroney, that's who I meant. He was my neighbor.
Great
oh,
was he?
Guy.
Yeah.
Yes. So I very much like him. And I know Dylan as well. Because we shot on the same lot. And we had a mutual friend, Jimmy Burke. So... There is a difference when you know that.
But they've got Bill yeah. Pullman, Bill Paxton
name.
Syndrome,
oh,
where you don't
one.
Know who
oh,
is, who's
God,
who.
I know.
I don't know
I
who's
know.
Who.
Yeah, you're right.
So
Kristen Stewart, Kristen Davis.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
same
just a mess.
Thing.
Yeah.
There's similar names.
It's very hard.
Yeah, totally.
Very, very
do
hard.
You, do you ever audition for something and then say it is, you know, like Sean Hayes, that's your buddy, that's your friend. You can't be mad at him.
No.
Or can you?
No, because auditioning, I learned a long time ago never to take it personally.
Okay.
Because, I mean, and let's be honest.
Yes.
there's no reason you'd really give me the part, the medium white guy who's good but not incredible. Yeah. Hey, come on, dude. I mean, that's the other thing about being an actor. You better know. You know what I'm really good at? This is not a shameless, but I'm really good at stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I know that in my heart.
Yeah.
Like, if you come to my show, I promise you'll laugh hard. You'll laugh harder than any movie you've ever seen. Acting, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm all right. I do my job.
Right.
And once in a while, I'll click into a character, like on The Goldbergs, Coach Miller, or on The Hangover, Eddie, where I play that guy from, you know, I grew up with those guys, so I can play them, you know, there is a way to speak, you know, all this. That's funny, but I have to do that. I don't have a very specific character, I just go in as Brian, as this dude.
Yeah.
Like my buddy Gary Fleeter, who's a director, he saw me in a gym and he goes, Brian. I go, yeah. He goes, yeah, I was just staring at you the longest time. You just look like every man.
Oh.
I was like, you're right. And you're right. It's not like, look at those brown eyes and that receding hairline.
The character you played in The Hangover and the sequel, right?
Yeah.
Can you pinpoint the exact origin of that character? Or is he just kind of an amalgam
He's
of
Lebanese.
Various... He's Lebanese. Yeah.
I lived in Lebanon.
Yeah.
So I even swear in Arabic in the first one.
You
when
do.
I get shot. They shot Eddie and I say this terrible. I basically in Arabic say your mother your sister is
beautiful.
Your sister's lower nether regions belong to that of a whore's. So that's a very, very, very terrible, you know.
Yeah.
Insult.
That's anyway. A horrible insult anywhere in the world.
It certainly is. Yeah. Lebanon. It certainly is. But the Arabs have you know, they have really great insults, and so I, yeah, I'm playing a Lebanese guy.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, people think it's Israeli or Greek, but it could be Israeli, could be Greek, be Armenian.
Yeah,
any of those cultures. Those are the subcultures that come into societies, and they have to be the middleman because they were never really allowed to be anywhere.
Oh, right.
So they have
yeah.
to figure out right. ways to sell. Anything to you. They'll own like a wedding chapel and they have package deals. And that was the idea.
That is true though, because I'm Greek. So, you know, what we were taught, we tried to learn the choice words very young. And
yes.
my grandpa would teach us to, you know, like to say, you look like a zucchini, but it really wasn't a zucchini. So all through life, we're going through.
That's right.
Life, that was learning the wrong words.
The Jews, when they came to this country, a lot of them, like most people, like the Irish, didn't have a lot of skills, but the Jews were, they were kept out of most businesses, but they could make clothing. So they became garmentos.
Oh.
And that was the origin of that stuff. Diamonds. The reason that you had a lot of Jewish diamond dealers was because, and gold, because when you're in Russia and you get kicked out of the country, when you're a Jew and you're basically kicked, like the king goes, you know what, let's blame the Jews. You got to leave with all your property. You can't leave with your property. You can leave with your diamonds.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, there's certain things out of necessity. This is a history course, guys. Come
see
me.
It's good to know.
Come
see me. It's comedy and history. You get not one, you get both.
This guy will teach you and make you laugh at the same time.
Brian, great to see you.
Thanks,
it's Brian Callen. He's performing at the Chicago Improv tonight, tomorrow, and then Saturday. You want to go to chicago.improv.com. All
I'm
the information there.
I'm watching people jog by your window.
It's
right
really
now.
Cold. That's
too
the
cold
only
to
way.
Jog.
It is.
Chicago, too- way too cold to jog. And even walk.
How about that?
I'm going back to California on
where
Sunday.
It's slightly warmer.
Yeah.
Just slightly.
Five shows only, kids.
Five shows only. That's all you get. We'll take a quick break, then more show. It's Bill, and it's Andrian for Wendy on WGN.